Human sex trafficking is the most common form of modern-day slavery, with victims being primarily children and females. Millions of people all over the world are victims of sex trafficking and have no way of escaping their situation. These victims do not solely come from third-world countries, but are also found all over America, in metropolitan areas as well as rural countrysides. There are no bounds to where this epidemic reaches. Hi guys, it's Tasha Shuckman and welcome back to Thought Provoking Podcast. Today we will be talking about the sex trafficking epidemic to continue our series of Worldly Problems Solved. Today we are joined by my good friend Bruce Talon. He has been researching the world of sex trafficking for the past 20 years at the Human Trafficking Center. Glad you could join us today, Bruce.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so let's dive right into this scary world of sex trafficking. Can you start off by giving us some background on what sex trafficking is?
Sex trafficking is set up as a trade where traffickers have full control over sex workers and use them for their own profit. It's crazy. These traffickers get huge salaries while the workers barely earn enough to pay for their necessities. If they get paid at all, there are two types of victims. One that is sold into the trade because of economic exploitation, while the other is physically forced into it. The economically exploited victims often are the ones who get paid. However, the debt is almost impossible to pay off at the rate they earn, so they are stuck in a trap. A journal article from the New Internationalist gives us a stat that trafficking victims come from 127 countries and are being enslaved in 137 countries. These are only those who are accounted for, so there is most likely more out there in need of help. And from these countries, it is an estimated 2.4 million victims. And the article also says some researchers claim these numbers to only account for 40% of the trafficking due to other forms of slavery that often goes unreported. But other researchers claim these number to be around 80% of all trafficking. Either way, trafficking is obviously a problem, and the majority of this trafficking is categorized as sex trafficking.
That is truly so sad. Is there a reason that we can identify as to why it occurs?
Well, it cannot be pinpointed to only one specific cause. However, the main cause is the male demand for commercial sex services. Think about it. If men didn't purchase these services, there would be no business for the traffickers to profit off of, which means no sex trafficking. Now we know the blame should not be put on males in general because the majority of the men frown upon this act. Instead, the blame should be put on society for not giving the proper educational measures to stop this industry. The male demand exists more than what people think, but the amount to which it exists is very difficult to find because the data is often skewed because buying sex is handled secretively and usually illegally. Also, there are inconsistencies in how researchers define buying sex, as well as the research methods used. For example, several studies have found the percentage of men who have purchased sex to be 7% in Great Britain and being 73% in Thailand, according to Irish Yen, who is a writer who researched a lot about male demand in the industry.
Oh yeah, I saw a study by Yen that took place in America, where their percentage rates varied extremely widely, from 16% to 69% of males. The sizable differences shown in each of these studies proves the faultiness and inaccuracy of the studies themselves. But I agree that male demand is a factor in why sex trafficking exists. I also think poverty and unemployment in third world countries are factors that can contribute to sex trafficking, because these countries often don't have the educational and economic opportunities that many other countries have, especially for women. So when women go out to look for a job in these countries, many are rejected, and some are even deceived into working as a sex worker due to false advertising. And abduction into the trade is obviously there, which I think is the first thing people think of when they think of sex trafficking.
That is true. But something that not a lot of people realize is that since poverty is such an issue in some places, sometimes people are sold into trade by their families because their household needs money to survive on. Usually daughters are the ones to be sold into the trade because they're the ones who have the hardest time finding a steady income in their country.
While we're on this subject, I'd like to bring Alice Luke Tag on to talk about this subject. Alice has been fighting for human rights for the majority of her life and has heard a lot of stories along the way that I think could help give a realistic picture of what trafficking is like.
Yeah, being in the profession I am in, I hear real life stories all the time. Some of the stories break my heart, but others give me hope. I feel like the story of a girl named Siri would be the best to mention for this situation. I heard this story not too long ago, and it starts when Siri was offered a quote-unquote good job when she was 14. Her family was promised $2,000 up front in exchange for Siri's work, and Siri took the job because that amount of money was equivalent to a year's income for her family. But after she took the job, she was sold to a brothel in a different town for $4,000. This brothel was pretty powerful as far as brothels go because it was extremely profitable and had government bureaucrats as well as local politicians as investors. Siri was later raped by her trafficker and managed to escape following that incident. But yet another high official, a policeman, was on the trafficker's side, and instead of helping Siri, he drove her right back to the brothel to get abused and have her debt double to $8,000. To get out of her quote-unquote job, she had to now repay this $8,000 as well as her monthly rent and food. Let me mention that she only received $4 per customer and that 300 customers a month would only pay for Siri's rent for that month. So this job situation that she had to be sold into to help out her family meant a life sentence for her as a sex worker that was nearly impossible to get out of.
And these stories happen a lot?
Unfortunately, yes. It happens all the time.
It sounds to me like politicians and government officials are entangled in this business from the story you just told about Siri. Is that right?
Yes, a small portion of politicians and government officials are involved in and get away with these illegal matters because they have the power to keep things hidden. These high-ranking people keep their names clean by leaving management up to a pimp and a bookkeeper so they can still support and profit off the trade, just without the risk.
So, it would be fair to say these powerful connections with the government and law enforcement, especially in these developing countries, promote sex trafficking and is an obstacle in the fight to end it. Also, the power of debt that traffickers can loom over their workers is an obstacle that the workers can only pay off by working a near impossible amount.
Yes, I as well as many other research in this field would agree with that.
Well, thank you, Alice, for sharing some of what you know with us today. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Bruce, any reactions to that story?
I've heard plenty of stories of victims over the years, and each one hurts me in a different way. I can't imagine how horrific Siri's experience must have been. I'm just glad she was able to make it out to tell her story. It is so, so difficult to get out of the trade once you're dragged into it.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's very rare for women to get out once they're in, unless they manage to escape or have someone very dedicated looking for them. It is so difficult because the traffickers usually move the victims to a foreign country where there are language, cultural, and legal obstacles stopping them from escaping. And even if a victim is rescued, they have lasting scars from their experience. The journal article titled Sex Trafficking, The Facts: Trafficking for Sexual Exploitation Has Become an Epidemic in the Past Decade, found that 56% of survivors suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. 57% have 12 to 23 simultaneous health problems. 95% have depression. 38% have suicidal thoughts. So it is a never-ending cycle for those who are in or have escaped the trade.
This is why I think the focus needs to be on stopping sex trafficking from the very beginning, instead of focusing on rescuing victims. Victims obviously need to be rescued whenever possible. However, the most efficient and beneficial tactic to the situation would be to work to stop it as early as possible in order to decrease effects on the victims. Do you know of a solution that would do this?
I'd say since the problem is so devastating and widespread, only the combination of multiple solutions will work to stop the problem. These solutions would be decreasing male demand and adopting the practices of campaigns that work to stop sex trafficking, which is essentially helping to spread awareness. Studies by Terrain Treskovakian have shown that the idea of the acceptable sexual behavior can change. So those who think trafficking or buying services from these women is acceptable can be changed. I mean, all people are educated to treat women differently, and some people just don't get the correct, crucial education soon enough. One experiment showed that repeated exposure to pornography leads to a carefree view of when women are treated as sexual objects. And in a different study, this one by Irish Yen, there were similar results because researchers found that increased pornography exposure resulted in more violence against women and more acceptance of unusual sexual behavior. In summary, these studies would be saying that pornography can affect people to the point where objectifying women, violence against women, and unusual sexual behavior do not seem like an issue, when in fact they are a huge issue. Pornography can affect people in different ways. However, it would be a false statement to say it always has this effect. To get the best results to help this problem, a solution has to be identified that will not get too much backlash. So the solution should be, instead of banning pornography, society should work to change the cultural norms of devaluing women. This can be done by teaching children the idea of equality and respect, as well as consequences that come from breaking these ideas. If this can be done, many would be deterred from buying sex services because of fear or morals. Also, it is easy to work these values into early schooling, children's books, and children's media.
And I think a little spark on this movement could lead to a world-changing outcome. But what do you say to the people who argue that educating children these values will not change anything because when they grow up, they will be influenced differently?
That is a valid argument, because obviously there is negativity in the world and the media. Kids may find out about sexual trafficking when they grow up, and it may appeal to them because of their outrageously high salaries or the power. However, if these people had been taught the importance of the morals from a young age, the thought of trafficking would not outweigh their morals.
I'd like to add on to the other part of the solution that you said earlier, the idea of supporting and adopting the practices of the anti-trafficking campaigns. This is crucial because the results of these campaigns have shown that bringing awareness to the topic of sex trafficking for children, as well as adults, has saved victims and decreased the rate of trafficking. So supporting these campaigns spreads awareness, and spreading awareness decreases sex trafficking.
Exactly. For example, Not For Sale is an anti-trafficking organization that trains citizens to seek out and identify victims of trafficking in everyday life. And they have started a neighborhood patrol, sort of security against trafficking.
I love the messages these anti-trafficking campaigns are sending. I think it really helps to establish what is right and what is wrong and to continually expose people to this.
And these campaigns make it really easy to help decrease sex trafficking because anyone can help just by supporting.
And the odds are that there's probably a local campaign near you. But anyways, let's summarize all that was discussed today.
Well, poverty, unemployment, and male demand are all factors in why sex trafficking exists, but male demand is the main cause. The power of traffickers, law enforcement, and officials, as well as cultural barriers, make trafficking very difficult to stop. And sex trafficking is not decreasing on its own, so solutions must be implemented to hopefully eliminate the whole trade one day. And these solutions include decreasing male demand by teaching equality and respect from a very young age, and by supporting anti-trafficking campaigns, since these campaigns are very beneficial to saving victims of trafficking.
You heard it right, folks. Trafficking is a major epidemic, but it can be stopped, and sex trafficking can be stopped too, if we all join together to fight it with these solutions. Thank you for tuning in. Talk to you next time on Thought Provoking Podcasts.